So I noticed sometimes that when some of the men get up to read or some of the people get up to read that they frequently introduce something. And I went to the closet this morning and I was going to grab my Green Bay Packers shirt. And I didn't. And I can't tell you exactly why, except I knew this was the one I was supposed to be wearing this morning. I don't know if you follow NFL football or not. I don't know if you know what happened in Monday night in the football game or not. But if you don't know, one of the players from the Buffalo Bills tackled one of the players from Cincinnati, and it just happened that that collision between the two of them caused his heart to stop. And he literally died right there in the field. They performed CPR, got his heart working again, but when they got him to the hospital, it stopped again, and they canceled the game, ultimately. But it was a very traumatic event, and one that has been all over the sports news for the past week. But the thing that has really caught my attention has been the way that the not only NFL community, but people in general have responded to this. And what it did was it drove them right back to their knees. Not just on Monday night when he was lying in the field unconscious, not breathing. Not only then did they pray for him, but it happened that people were sending in messages, former football players. One, Dan Orlovsky, who works on ESPN, actually stopped his broadcast and said, I'm going to pray right now, which he did for a full minute. And it was apparent, at least to me, that he has a relationship with the Lord, because we've often been told that praying is just like talking to God. And that's what he did for a minute. He talked to God. And I thought, man, they haven't even cut him off. Normally ESPN is on this side of the political spectrum, and I thought they'd cut him off. And then last night before the Tennessee-Jacksonville game, all the players, all the personnel from both teams came to the middle of the field, got down on one knee, and prayed. And I thought, wow, the NFL won't even show the national anthem anymore because of all the kneel-down stuff. My wife said to me last night, she said, well, there's a reason to take a knee right there, you know? And they sat there and prayed. And I thought, you know, what's touched my heart this week, and I would hope a lot of other people, is the fact that there were so many people who called upon the Lord on this man's behalf. And I looked at the section of scripture this morning where it says, then all will look to you. All will assemble and come to you. Your daughters and your sons will come from afar. And I thought, well, isn't that an interesting prophecy? And then I looked at our song this morning, and God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. You're where my help comes from. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And so I just share that this morning, because if you haven't seen it yet, my guess is it's going to be all over. They say that if you're in the stadium in Buffalo, and I have this on because I was a season ticket holder for years. So that's another reason I grabbed this. We lived there for 30 years. I know the people in the area. I know how it's impacted them. And they say that before the game today and during the game, the hair on the back of your neck will stand up, because they're going to, their general manager says, God is good and God has been good to us. And those kind of public proclamations in this day and age, when we can't even get the name of the Lord anywhere, you know, without somebody being critical of it, it was uplifting to me. And so I thought, this is a good word from our Lord this morning. From Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the first six verses, where it talks about the glory of Zion. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephrah, And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Second reading comes from Luke, the second chapter, verses 21 to 40, where Jesus is presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. But she never left the temple and worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Our third reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, where we read about the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. These are God's words.
I'd like to invite children to come down. All right, now the adults, would you please crawl under the chairs and come to the front also? We'll get halfway under the chair and get stopped, I know. Do you have any idea what today is?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, that's correct. Well done. Good. It's your mom's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sharon. Happy birthday to you. Oh, no, I won't say a part. 29, right? Yes, okay. Oh, sorry, 28. We have a video for you to see this morning as part of the children's sermon that Miss Sandy made. Hey, guys, if you want to stay here, you have to be quiet. Don't forget. Okay? On kind of the subject of Epiphany. Epiphany celebrates a bunch of different things. It means when something makes sense in my head, like I have an epiphany, like, oh, I get it. It's like a light bulb goes off, ding. But it also means that the light of God came into the world. And it also means that the wise men who were following the star ended up finally in Bethlehem, and they gave Jesus, Mary, and Joseph three gifts. Can you remember them? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very good. Well, all of those things come together in an event called Epiphany. And so we're going to watch this video, okay? And I'm pretty sure you'll see you guys in it. So watch for yourselves. Yeah. So are we ready? Good.
Whenever I see girls and boys selling lanterns on the streets, I remember the child in the manger as he sleeps. Wherever there are people giving gifts, exchanging cards, I believe that Christmas is truly in their hearts. Let's light our Christmas trees for a bright tomorrow, where nations are at peace and all are one in God. Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. This season may we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts. In every prayer and every song, the community unites, celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let love like that starlight on that first Christmas morn lead us back to the manger where Christ the child was born. So come, let us rejoice, come and sing a Christmas carol with one big joyful voice, proclaim the name of the Lord. Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. This season may we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts. Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. This season may we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts. Whenever I see girls and boys selling lanterns on the street,
sweet. I remember the child in the manger as he sleeps. Wherever there are people giving gifts, exchanging cards, I believe that Christmas is truly in their hearts. Let's light our Christmas trees for a bright tomorrow, where nations are at peace and all are one in God.
Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday this season. May we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts.
In every prayer and every song, the community unites, celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let love like that starlight on that first Christmas morn lead us back to the manger where Christ the child was born. So come, let us rejoice, come and sing a Christmas carol with one big joyful voice. Proclaim the name of the Lord.
Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday this season. May we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts. Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday this season. May we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in
selling lanterns on the streets. I remember the child in the manger as he sleeps. Wherever there are people giving gifts, exchanging cards, I believe that Christmas is truly in their hearts. Let's light our Christmas trees for a bright tomorrow, where nations are at peace and all are one in God.
Let's sing Merry Christmas and a happy holiday this season. May we never forget the love we have for Jesus. Let him be the one to guide us as another new year starts. And may the spirit of Christmas be always in our hearts.
In every prayer and...
And now it's over? You like seeing yourself up there, huh? Well, in our sermon today, we're going to be talking about when people finally understand in their head and in their heart that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for their sins. And this is the hard part, and that they want to follow him. We saw all kinds of examples of Epiphany coming into families as they celebrated Christmas. What were you supposed to be celebrating? The birth of Jesus. Okay? Now, a more important day than even the birth of Jesus is when he's born inside your heart. And you can finally say, I love him. He is saving me. And because of Jesus, I'm going to heaven. And that's part of what Epiphany is all about. So I want you to see if you can listen for that in the sermon today, okay? Because that's what we're going to be talking about. And you can thank Miss Sandy for the video, because then thank you for all the parents that sent pictures in. You get to supervise this. Ladies first, let's go. Don't make too much noise. All right, here we go. All right, boys go. Boys go. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2. Epiphany is an interesting word. Sandy, you can make him go away if it doesn't get it done. I know. I'm taking it away now, though. Okay. Better grab one, because Pastor's taking it away. No. 5, 4, 3. Grab one you like. There you go. There you go.
I would do 3.
Yes, I know. There is an epiphany that exists outside of you, all right? The wise men coming to the manger. It's an epiphany moment. The declaration of who he is, a recognition by the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Epiphany moment. There is an epiphany moment in terms of, the shepherds. And suddenly there was, boom, the angel appeared. And there's an epiphany moment. Oh my goodness, a child has been born in Bethlehem. It's that moment when they are 1 minute in darkness and literally brought into intense light, and more importantly, brought into understanding. It doesn't just exist like the Word of God out here in kind of the self and in the truths it presents. It suddenly enters in and surrounds you, and it becomes a part of who you are. It's your moment of epiphany. And those happen more than once. But they need to happen because what happens is you begin to discover the presence of God, the reality of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. Each one of the attributes of God, in one sense, needs to be emotionally and psychologically and spiritually almost experienced to fully grasp how broad that is. And, you know, when you're repenting of a sin that you've been dealing with, and all of a sudden the Lord breaks into that part of your life or your heart and just sets you free, that's your moment of epiphany. When finally the light that has been available to you always breaks into your darkness, and it's like you see yourself and your life and your circumstances like you've never seen them before. Now, into these situations that we're identifying here, you have to understand many times it is your moment of epiphany that happens under certain circumstances where people will say, I was just kind of going along and going to church and you weren't doing anything particularly wretched or horrible above the normal wretched, horrible stuff we do. But all of a sudden, God came to me, opened my eyes, opened my heart. I grasped for the first time what God's mercy, what the miracles, what the presence of God meant, what the fullness of the Holy Spirit was all about. And in that moment, you begin to understand Epiphany. So one of my purposes in the sermon this morning is to make sure that in one sense you experience not only the external Epiphany, the celebration of the visitation of the wise men, the miracle of gold, frankincense, and myrrh being talked about both in up there in Isaiah 61-6, and it was in a different section of Matthew. I had to miss a section up there where the men are receiving the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh as they reveal they came to the place where the child lay, knowing he was the King of the Jews. And so each one of those moments that you see or read are first-time moments in many cases. All of a sudden, people are going, this is the Messiah. He really is the promised one. This is what God has given to his people. And so that moment is what I wanted to address. Well, I have a sermon that we can finish, and we'll be here till 4 o'clock. But Lauren sent me something this morning. And it may or may not bless your socks off, because I went teary-eyed in the whole 10 yards. But it was such a neat message, and from another pastor, and I don't even know where it was from because I didn't care. Lauren sent it to me. It had to be good. And so I'm listening to it up here, going over my sermon, and a moment, and let this pastor share this testimony with you. And I hope it just opens your eyes to the epiphany God wants in each one of us individually. My parents cannot believe for me. No matter how much I love my children, they each have to believe, receive, accept, and know God in that intimate way. The same thing with the presence of the Spirit, the same thing with the word forgiveness and mercy and grace and a lot of other words that we sometimes just receive only kind of in an external way until finally God goes, it's you and me right now, and you know it. And at that point, so I'd like you to listen to this, if you would, and we're ready to run it, I think.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. And a pastor came up, and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway, the plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm gonna get Anchorage emergency for you. And Anchorage emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we gotta do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm gonna line you up. He said, I'm gonna bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
I couldn't duplicate that or touch it with a 10-foot pole in terms of the testimony. The voice of God is speaking, and there is a connection as clear as it was in that illustration of true life that that man brought up. We watch people in the Bible at many times not listen to the voice. And we have this as a compromise or a contrast of a brother who did understand it and the intellectual requirement that was needed. Don't look out the window. Don't look at anything. Just listen for my voice. I'll tell you what you got to do. And here's the miracle. I will get you through it. And I like best the part where you can't see me. You can't even see out your windows. But I'm going to find you. And I know where you are. And I know where I want to and I need to take you. And so you begin to understand the significance of the message of Epiphany. God speaking to you, I came into the world for the purpose of finding you. And the question is, have you discovered and found me? And more importantly, are you walking, listening to the voice? Because just like that plane would have hit the mountain, our lives are just that fragile day by day. Our children are that fragile. Our marriages are that fragile. Our personalities can be that fragile. And in the middle of it, God is speaking to our hearts, asking the question, are you listening to my voice? Wise men, are you following the star? Shepherds, have you heard and responded to the angels? You understand the entire Christmas account and the gospel after it is about people having that epiphany moment, understanding the miracle of the presence of God, investing himself in our lives, knowing where we need to go, knowing where we are, being fully aware. And I liked also the part where the man in the control tower says, so many times I watched people, pilots, not listen to me and crash and burn and destroy their lives. And you could hear the lawyer, I'm sorry, it was a lawyer and the pastor was flying, in the process, he points out and he said, you've got to recognize that this guy in the tower was praying, begging, commanding, directing, in whatever he could do. Listen to me. Don't follow what you think you want to follow. It's not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. And so into the middle of that, the ultimate epiphany moment is when Epiphany, the Lord, speaks into your heart the stuff you need to hear. And so my prayer is that we would understand that, that you would recognize yourself, here's the truth. Are you even going to make it home today? Do you really think you're going to have a job in the next week or month? Do you really believe that the United States, you know, and it goes on and on. God whispers to you, listen to my voice. I know where you are. I know where I need you to go. And my purpose is to keep you alive, to save you. And in that moment of trust, that moment of intimacy, that moment of, like you use the example, putting yourself upon the altar and surrendering to the will of God, you begin to understand what Epiphany is all about. Pray with me if you would. Lord, storm is so easy to see and the distractions are so powerful. The deceptions are out there, the arrogance within us that makes us think we can do it without you. And in the middle of it all, Lord, you keep speaking to our hearts, asking, can you hear my voice? And in that moment, Lord, you want to just not only speak to us, but rescue us, guide us, fulfill us, give us hope, take us to places we can't even know that we have to go. And in the middle of it, you work in our lives, the lives of the people around us, the lives of our children and grandchildren, in the lives, Lord, of people who see us and walk and interact with us. Come, Lord, we pray for epiphany in our own walk with you. We pray for the fullness of your Holy Spirit into each of our lives, and we pray for the epiphany of the light in the darkest areas of our life, that we'd no longer hold them away from you, but instead surrender them wholly and completely into your hands. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.